Okay, here is the question as we launch into episode 10. Have you ever been caught faking something? Ooh, two questions. You can choose from these two questions. One, have you ever been caught faking something and it was really embarrassing? Or number two, have you ever bought a generic product that you were sure would be just as good as the real thing and you regretted it?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, really?
Give us a little time on these.
It's the spontaneity.
Faking something.
Okay. It's funny because this is such a simple one. I bought Harbor Freight electrical tape.
Oh, funny.
And it was like...
No offense, Harbor Freight.
Yeah. What's funny is like it was... You just got to know at that point. It was like 10 rolls for like $1.99. And I was like, I'll never have to buy electrical tape ever again.
So excited.
I brought it home and was working on a project that day. And it never even stuck. Like off of the roll. Oh. Like it stuck to it. And then as I wrapped it, it instantly was like, oh, that doesn't hold. So I should have just spent $4 and bought three of the actual stuff. That was very disappointing.
Tools are absolutely like the easiest arena to really, because you don't. It's like, especially when you're young and your budget is tight. It's like, I want tools, but I cannot afford tools. Yeah. So you find the cheapest thing that resembles a tool. And they market it like a tool. They call it a tool. But then you get it home and it's like, I need some tools to fix my tools. Yeah, it just like that screwdriver where you start to turn it and the metal part sticking out holds still. And the plastic part in your hand, it's like the handle is turning, but not the screwdriver. Yeah. Oh, it's the worst.
Well, I have a really embarrassing one. A very embarrassing one. Oh, can I just be really vulnerable?
Please do.
There was a thing, oh my gosh, in college, I was not saved. You guys have to know that. In college, there was like the egg thing that you would like rub on your hair and it would cut your hair. And it was like a hair remover thing.
Yeah.
My girlfriend bought
it. He's rubbing his chest, by the way, describing this.
So is this a
it's
real,
not on your head.
Is this a real egg or is this like a PED egg?
It was like a tool. Like it was like
a hair removal.
Okay. Yeah, and you would turn it on and it was like a hair removal thing.
Okay.
And my girlfriend bought it for me and I used I used it. And my hair grew in circles for like multiple months after it came back.
Really?
Like the way I like just rotated. Yeah. Like rotated it on my chest. I used it on my chest to get rid of the hair on my chest. And my hair grew in like a circle.
Like swirls.
Swirls for like the next couple of times.
Like an Italian stallion.
You should have started writing like a big letter A in your chest.
Yes, do it. Get one of those eggs.
It did not work as well, and I still have hair on my chest. So
let's see.
Well, I'm preaching with my shirt off. So.
Put your pants back on. What are you doing?
Oh, my pants are on.
My pants are on.
Megan is getting red. She's feeling secondhand embarrassment right now.
Let the record show. Aaron Seibrandt is now fully clothed. Fully clothed.
Okay. Aaron is an 81 sweatshirt.
All right, so what were the questions?
Well,
again?
Okay, so wait.
You've been caught faking.
Yeah, faking. Yeah. I just told you guys my sweatshirt story. Is that a faker?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
No, that's boring. Just you're confused.
I was.
I think if you're faking, like, you know it. Like, you're...
Oh, like intentional faking.
Like, you wore an arm brace to school to get sympathy, and then your parents are, like, picking you up. Take that off, you dummy. What are you doing? And your friends are like, your arm's not really broken, or whatever.
Can anybody? I tell on someone else?
Yeah, please do.
Okay, I won't say who.
No, it's better if you do.
No, because this is...
Listeners want to know.
I think this is funny. Because I feel like it's... Anyways, I'll just say the story and then... April 1st.
Her favorite holiday.
Sometime in the late 80s. My favorite decade. A young girl came to school and she thought she'd prank all of us. And she whispered all day.
Wow.
And she said, I lost my voice so I couldn't. And then at the end of the day, she said, April Fools! I've thought of that so many times and thought, well, that's just an April Fools on yourself. Because that would suck to go all day whispering like that.
You really burned us.
I know! Sorry if you're listening to this podcast.
Is this a
sorry.
Person that could possibly hear this?
She could.
Oh, that's hilarious.
I mean, I think she'd have a good giggle over it too. Or she honestly may not remember. I don't know. It was pretty memorable in my brain.
My money's on your sister, Abby.
Nope. It wasn't Abby.
Is that your Roman Empire? Because you said I think about it often.
Yeah. No.
I got to say, that is the most annoying name for a trend on social media. My Roman Empire. That is, oh gosh.
I find it hilarious.
You idiot, Aaron.
I think it's funny.
Just kidding.
I can only think of when I was doing something bad and I got caught, which I guess I was faking it because I was trying to, once I got caught, I was trying to like overcome the fact that I got caught by lying. And it was like, my dad was way smarter than that. Anyways, I went through a phase in high school where I snuck out a lot. And I know it's funny thing is I wasn't even doing anything bad when I snuck out other than the fact that I was sneaking out. That was the bad thing I was doing. But like, it's not like I was going to party or like really doing
anything. I was journaling on the front lawn.
I wasn't reading that, a book, but I was going to hang out with friends sure. and it's like we were doing harmless things, yeah. but I nonetheless was sneaking out. Anyways, I had to one time came back and
we'd kind of like to know how harmless these things were.
I remember just like literally driving around and that was it.
You were harming the environment.
Yeah, how about that carbon footprint?
Yeah. Oh, okay, true. Okay.
Sorry, Earth.
Anyways, I snuck out and I had to come back in. And I think one of my friends must have picked me up because I didn't have my car keys to get into my house. And so I usually banked on one of our doors being unlocked. And this time, none of the doors were unlocked. And I was like, oh no. And FYI, my parents were like the worst people that you could sneak out with because my dad's erratic sleep schedule.
Yes,
like
so weird.
Yeah, he's always up at like the most random times doing very productive things. Yeah. Like he'll get up in the middle of the night and just like pay his bills or whatever. So anyways, this is one of these nights where he was actually awake. And I figured out that I could get through. We had like this outside door that had a doggy door attached to it. And I couldn't fit through the doggy door, but I could stick my hand up and unlock the door.
Oh, yeah. I so wanted to hear about you getting stuck in the doggy door.
No, but this door was right next to this bathroom that my dad used. Yeah. And so I am reaching through, poking my head in, and he is brushing his teeth and he's looking down at me and he's like, what are you doing? And I was like,
with the toothbrush.
Yeah, with his like toothbrush. Like, what are you doing right now? And I was like, oh, I went out to my car to get something and locked myself out. And he was like, yeah, I know you didn't do that. And so he was like, go to bed. We'll talk about it in the morning. And I was like, okay. I did not sleep well that night.
Yeah, I'll bet. That's hilarious.
That is very funny.
How funny would it have been, though, if he would have, like, just had his firearm, thought you were a burglar, and shot your arm?
Yeah, that'd be hilarious.
Oh, come on. That'd be a great story.
No.
I think I'd been more shocked that my dad owned a firearm. Okay.
Yeah. Okay, he'd just hit you with a fly swatter.
I could hardly focus during that story because I thought of a great, legit answer to this that I did not.
None of those other answers were legit, but...
Oh, no. Legit for me. Like, I didn't have to fake an answer to the fake question.
Okay.
The question about being fake. I did not have this in mind when I asked the question at all. So many years ago, Rachel will remember. I'll give the shortest possible version of this story. You guys can ask for details.
We're already 8 minutes in.
I know. So we have friends hanging out at our house, our first home we owned. And they are fellow youth leaders along with us. And we noticed down the block, there's a underage drinking party going on and the parents are gone and there's like 50 kids.
Oh, it's so many. And the kids are like,
they're like
coming from all over the neighborhood, like rolling through people's yards and like hiding and ducking under trees and like bushes. And
but the party itself, like the lights are on, there's people spilling on the lawn. It is like, it's like Mardi Gras down at this house and people are parking blocks away to walk there.
Yeah, but so they're being ninjas sneaking up to the party, but then the party is like...
So I don't remember if we had it at our house or if we ran and grabbed it, but we got the the megaphone from
the church. I think we called John Mack.
Like the siren sound. Mm-hmm. No, I think he was there already. Maybe not. So anyway, we end up like... sneaking up on this house with the megaphone and doing the whole GFPD come out, blah, 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 blah. And like turning on the siren and these massive high school football players come out, they're drunk and they're ready for a fight. And they're like, It is hilarious. So I forgot about this. I didn't sneak up. I don't remember what my plan was, but these two other guys snuck up. They're doing this whole contest in the front yard.
Well,
we're
you
the
didn't
PD,
wanna,
but not the PD.
Because you knew they would know your face.
Yeah, that's true. They knew if I came out.
We're so, better neighbors now than we were.
So then I approached them like, hey, I'm your neighbor just trying to help with the scenario. And they're like, yeah, well, these blankety blanks came out and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, and then one of our guys, the one you would not expect at all, wanted to get into it. And
just
he's like, he's ready to fight.
But
this 25-year-old guy is ready to fight these high school kids. And John Mack and I are like, no, no, don't fight minors. Get out of here. Let's call the real cops.
Listen, we're gonna
and
go
let
to
them
jail.
Do real work, and we will go away now because we are thoroughly embarrassed being exposed for being fake cops.
Oh, man.
That's hilarious.
So I cannot believe I shared that story.
Any of you kids who are now probably nearing the age of 40 are listening to this, sorry. And not sorry. You shouldn't underage drink.
It was a fun night.
It was a great night.
Great memory. All right. So this leads us to our topic for the night, for the episode, our final in an examination.
Oh, wait. Today is March 4th, which means...
March 4th.
Yes.
We're going to move
Schwall's
forward.
Birthday. It's Nick Schwall's birthday. Happy birthday, Nick Schwall.
Happy birthday.
That's not a joke. It's actually his birthday.
It is.
Man, we love Nick
But
Schwall.
When this episode comes out, it's probably it's late not, March or early so. April.
It's the 4th of July when this comes out. All right. So here is, we do love Nick. He's fantastic. Mm-hmm. And he's been the inspiration behind many of these episodes.
He has been because he's true. A stand-up guy.
He is.
He is a stand-up guy.
He's not
guy.
A jerk. All right. Molly, you done well, girl.
You done well, Molly. Real well.
Good job. All right. So we've been looking at six different convictions, six different traits that we want to see developed in our lives. And when these are developed in our lives, we're more prepared for marriage. So again, as always, go back to episode 4 if you need the overview of this. But you want to be a person who is known for, number 6, last but not least on this list, a person of personal integrity and transparency. You want to be a person who is known for personal integrity and transparency. And let me read a couple scriptures. I'll kind of break down this idea and then we will discuss. But in 1 John 1:7, it says, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, speaking of Christ, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. So I guess the he there is, sorry, it's Father God. If we walk in the light as God is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. Psalm 139, David wrote this, investigate my life, O God. Find out everything about me. Cross-examine me and test me. See if there's any offensive way in me and lead me in the way everlasting.
Yeah.
Personal integrity and transparency. So I want to kind of talk through this and talk through like how we see this, how we develop this. If we are the person who maybe in some way, shape, or form, and maybe all of us in some minor way find ourselves faking bits and pieces of life, how do we become more and more a person of real transparency and integrity? But let's talk about why this is vital. In previous episodes, as we've talked about these five other traits, we've talked about a good work ethic, we've talked about financial stewardship, we've talked about peer relationships and relationships with people of authority, we've talked about commitment to the local church. If we do all of those things just on a surface level, or we do all those things just enough to where people can evaluate and watch us and be impressed, but it's not really a personal conviction, if it's not really coming from who we are, if it's not starting with an inward conviction, and if it's not starting with a connection with Jesus Christ, then all of those things really are just things. That's just religion. Mm-hmm. It's not the outflowing of a relationship with Jesus.
Yeah.
And I love the way that David writes. He's like, come on, God, like really have your way, get in there, dig around, investigate my life, oh God, find out everything about me, cross-examine me and test me. And it's absolutely critical in every arena of life that we ask ourselves, who am I really? And whether or not you're ever married, now I believe this absolutely has ramifications in the marriage relationship, but even if you're never married, who you are as a person should should be a reflection of what's really going on inside of you. Let me put it this way. Who you are as a person is a reflection of what's really going on inside of you. And to the degree that you feel like you have to kind of like posture yourself or curate your words, your look, your behavior, so others maybe more so approve, you're going to stress yourself out. You're going to invite anxiety and burdens into your life rather than allowing God to change the real you on the inside and let the real you then begin to go from the inside out for your convictions, your choices, your investments, the way you use your money, your time, your finances, all those things, the language in your relationships, the way you confront or don't confront issues, all of that. If it flows naturally from who you are, it's real life. But that starts with a commitment to just get open with Jesus. Yeah. And on one level, this can sound really mystical and even like really subjective, like just get open with Jesus. But if it doesn't start there, it'll never actually mature into something really real that can be objectively observed by others. So I want to talk about this. Like, A, what are your reflections on this idea? Walking in the light as he is in the light. It builds fellowship with one another and a genuine connection with his son. Investigating our lives in the presence of the Holy Spirit, allowing God to dig deep. Let's talk a little bit about this idea. Eventually, of course, today we want to talk about if you struggle in this arena, you know, how could you grow in this arena? Mm-hmm. We want to talk about like what benefits do we see in marriage? Why is this critical in the marriage relationship? But maybe first of all, why don't we just start from the standpoint of like why should a person care about this conversation, whether or not they're ever married? Why should they care about this conversation of authenticity, transparency, integrity between them and Jesus? That's a big question.
You can go ahead. We both moved to the mic at the same time.
Oh, we did?
Yeah.
It's a race to the mic.
Let's see if we can all finish each other's sentences.
That was really good.
How did you know I was going to say that?
Oh, gosh. It's like lightning in a bottle with this group. I don't know how we captured it, but we did. And it's a beautiful thing.
Wow. Chemistry. Yeah, I think this matters because you have to start by inviting Jesus into all parts of your heart. And I think it is so easy to just be like, okay, God, here, you can have these parts of me, but no, don't go here. Mm-hmm. And if you're doing that with God, you're going to do that with any other human being on this earth. Right. Mm-hmm. And so I think it has to start with Jesus. Yeah, that's all I got right now.
Yeah, I think it's really sad to me how many Christians settle for segmented religion, segmented connection with Jesus because of a fear or a concern of not understanding the fullness of grace as God or the wholeness that he attends for our life. So I think one of the reasons that this is just so incredibly crucial is God promised us abundant life, mm-hmm. not just, you know, broken, sad, hard life.
Mediocre.
Some of those things we experience because life is just life. There's sin and all the fall of man and all of those things. But when we get fully whole, fully real before God is when we can actually start to experience the wholeness that he has for us, the fullness that he has for us. And it takes being fully transparent before him in that. And I mean, there's elements that have to come and we'll definitely talk about that before the church and stuff like that. But in my mind, it's like, don't settle for anything less than holy, fully committing and sharing with Jesus. Yeah.
Let's pause for a minute and just maybe state what some of you haven't yet lived. Like you can really actually be transformed by God.
Yeah.
Like he can really actually do a work in you, changing you, like forgiving you, of course, wiping away the past for sure. Yeah. But really changing who you are and remapping like the way that you think, the way that you feel, the way you respond or don't respond to wrong emotions. Like God can really actually change the way that you respond or don't respond to temptation. He can really actually renew your mind, change your patterns, not just on the external, but give you a different motivation, give you a really different a different heart, a different spirit.
Yeah. Right.
And some of us, we know this on a biblical level. It's like we read scriptures like that, right? We read Romans 8 and other passages. We read 2 Corinthians 5 and other passages that kind of look at that life and lean into that life. But I want to encourage you, if you've never yet experienced it, You can actually really legitimately have it. And yeah. I've told our church many times, I'm not very different than what I was 2 years ago, but I'm very different than 25 years ago.
Yeah.
I'm very, very different. And I did participate in that process, but man, God absolutely did the miracle. He's the one that is the hero of my story. And you can have that same story for your context and your unique issues, personality, hangups, temptations, backstory, whatever. God can transform you.
Yeah.
And it can be really legit, really, really real. And God wants to do that in you. Can we take a minute and just like, I mean, yeah, God changes us, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I was thinking of how I was such a liar, like so fake, like talk about fake. I mean, just one way here and one way there. And I actually took that, even though I had recommitted my life to the Lord, I took those lying patterns into college with me when I was going to Bible school and lied on a test. And I know I cheated on a test.
In Bible college.
The irony,
yeah. And there was something in my heart that was like, this is really bad. And I am lying all the time about the dumbest things, just so dumb. Like if I couldn't find my keys, I was like, if I was late to work, I'd be like, oh, I couldn't find my keys. Well, it might've been like, I looked on that dresser and it was on that dresser. I mean, so I would just lie about every little thing. Anyway, so I went to my teacher and I said, I cheated on this test. And I fully thought she would send me home and I would be done with Bible school. And I was ready to face that consequence, and that sucked. But at the same time, I was like, well, this is what I deserve. And she was like, I want you to do a study on lying in the Bible. And I would say that the Word of God set me free.
Yeah.
Because getting honest in that moment obviously helped. But then realizing, just putting truth into myself, like God's words into my heart, and writing out scriptures on lying, truly set me free. And I'm like, gosh, why would I lie? Cause it is such like talk about being like in bondage. Like,
yeah.
Oh, it's just awful to lie. And you're always trying to think of, oh, well, how do I say it if I get caught in this angle or if I get caught this way. And
oh, okay. So rapid fire, everybody, let's describe, like when you're living and you know, like there's hidden sin and you there's stuff you've been hiding, you've been covering, you've been masking. What's going on in you emotionally? What are those thoughts? What are those fears that are lingering under the surface when you got hidden sin?
Shame. So I isolate.
Yeah.
I think I get heavily critical. Because I don't want to examine myself, so I examine others.
Mm. Fear, for sure. Fear of getting caught and fear of what people will think.
Yeah, yeah. And I think a temptation to just control the situation, control like what's said, who's saying what, who knows what. And then the fear that I can't keep up with all the lies that I had to tell in order to keep this main one.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Oh,
totally.
So true.
I just remember being in my phase of sneaking out and how much that... It was just exhausting. It's exhausting to keep up all these different fronts.
Yeah.
It was exhausting to pretend to be Great Falls Police Department. Not for very long. We didn't keep the ruse alive very long.
I can guarantee that it was exhausting for that girl who talked like this.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
All right. So, okay, for real though, like back to like legitimate hidden sin in our lives. Talk about the feeling, like rapid fire, the emotions when it's out, it's exposed, and you're no longer hiding that.
I think there's a freedom, like for sure, that comes with it. Especially, I think it sucks when you get caught.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think it's much better if you get convicted and come. Yes. Like, I think in your situation of lying on a test,
you reveal it yourself. And, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, whatever it is.
Yeah, I think it's way better if you can just own up and be like, yep, this is what I did.
Mm-hmm.
I think getting caught has a lot heavier consequences. And it's like, oh gosh. Because you even have to work through like your own heart of like, am I just repenting? And like, do I feel bad because I got caught? Or do I feel bad because I've legitimately been sinning? And
so
I think that's a hard one.
Yeah, I think just peace and
peace
and hopefulness yes. of like, oh, okay, there's something better that God yeah. intends.
Mm-hmm.
I think thinking through several different seasons and scenarios, just like, I love the relief of just knowing whatever comes next, it's real.
Oh yeah.
And
yeah.
And it's not something I manufactured and I manipulated.
Yeah.
Whether it was like respect from somebody, you know, an openness in a relationship, an open door, an opportunity, a promotion, applause, whatever it may be, like whatever comes next, even if it's painful, it's real. Even if it's mm-hmm. a closed door, an ended relationship, it's like finally the mask is off. The residue is out in the open, but what we're facing now, it's like, it's real and mm-hmm. I can't control it in the best of ways. I don't have to, I'm just going to face whatever's real and then go forward from there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. So think about then somebody who's listening to this and struggling with this dynamic. Maybe they got some hidden stuff. And they're thinking about a relationship and they can't wait to start a relationship and find that somebody and start their life together, but they haven't yet tackled this. Mm-hmm. And they've got arenas where it's like life's a little bit murky and a little bit shady. And there's these kind of patterns, these kind of beliefs, these kind of temptations that are just, they're kind of like just shields are up and they're hiding this in the dark. What would you say to that person? If they're like, they want to move forward toward a great relationship, and maybe they're even thinking the relationship is the answer to get past this stuff
mm-hmm.
that they're hiding in the dark. Mm-hmm. What would you say to them?
I think it takes a certain level of self-awareness to be at that point where you know, like, okay, I'm not good at this. Mm-hmm. And I think you probably need other people to help you even identify, like, man, you're really guarded in these areas. Because I think about when I was young and first came to our church, I was super guarded. And this is an area where I struggled with. I was not very transparent or open. And I think we've even talked about this in our marriage of like, there's been seasons where Aaron's like, I cannot read you. Or like, I have no idea how you're feeling. And you're just like, seems like you're bottling up your emotions or you're not revealing what's truly going on to me. And I think honestly, in that season, I probably could have used someone to just point blank be like, you're really guarded. Mm. I see you're guarded here and I see you're guarded here. Like, why is that? And I think that probably would have been really helpful for me to like even recognize I was guarded. Cause I don't think I would have seen that in that season. I think I would have been like, cause it was probably the most open I had ever been.
Sure.
But now I look back on myself and I'm like, oh my gosh, I was so like, I had walls yeah. up. And I'm sure the leader I was meeting with knew that. Like, I'm absolutely sure they did. And so, and they were just patient and gracious with me. And I think that was a huge blessing mm-hmm. for sure. But I do think even having someone in your life that can be like, okay, you're guarded. And even maybe the question I could have asked at that age when I was, you know, 20 or 21 is, are there areas that you like I'm hiding from you? Or do you feel like there's areas where I'm not willing to talk about? Or what areas do I feel more guarded to you? Sure. Mm-hmm. Because maybe that leader senses like, we can't talk about this, or I don't think they'll want to go here. And so they don't ask those questions. Yeah. And I'm pretty sure that's where they're at. And so that might have been helpful to me as a 21-year-old.
Hmm. Other thoughts?
Tell me if I'm reading you right. So they're thinking about getting in a relationship and they have hidden sin, or they feel like they haven't been vulnerable, or.
Yeah. I think in general, like if a person's listening to even just like that idea, like there's parts of my life I'm masking, I'm not really addressing, I'm hoping to get past this, but like, I'm not maybe really getting honest with anyone about it. Maybe I'm even just telling myself, oh, you know, I've prayed about it, but I haven't really dealt with it. Maybe haven't really come clean. Even as I discuss it with God, I'm like kind of negotiating with him or explaining it away. Like if that person, instead of really learning how to really be transparent with Jesus, how to really have integrity in the way they open up to him, maybe they're instead saying, okay, this relationship is probably the answer. Here's what I need. And or maybe they're not even associating the two, but they're like in the middle of ignoring this stuff, they're also saying, man, I just want to fall in love. Mm-hmm. You know, I just want that relationship. I want that security. I want that romance. I want that thrill. I want that next stage. Is there anything we would say that says, hey, maybe why don't we just table that and work here first?
Yeah.
Why would you think that's important, if you would?
Well, I think for the sake of being transparent and vulnerable, like I had, when I had gotten saved, I had a horrific past with the opposite sex, but I was struggling with pornography, and I wasn't struggling with the opposite sex as much as I was struggling with pornography. And I had chosen to be vulnerable in a guarded way. Like I would be like, you know, I'd be meeting with my mentor, but you know, like I struggled the other day, you know, it was really hard. And, but in honor, like if I would have been honest, it was like, I looked at pornography and I did, you know,
sure.
I self-gratified, you know, and I chose like this guarded process of those things instead of just being real and honest. And like, sadly, like,
when you say it more abruptly like that, it's like, oh gosh, like that sounds way worse than like,
I just struggled. If you're specific on like, this is how often I'm struggling and this is how long I'm struggling for, it's like, it brings more weight.
I want to just be vulnerable. Like I had people that were willing to help me before it ever became a relationship. And I told Megan, like when we were dating, you know, hey, I've struggled with this. And even kind of like, here's the PG-13 version of what's really going on in my life. And there was a few years in our marriage where it was still a struggle, and it led to, man, if I could just, without getting emotional, and I think I don't get as emotional as much. I'm still very grieved, but there's a lot of freedom in this area anymore. And there's so much open communication in our relationship now but we had to fight through really difficult seasons of like coming to people and repenting and repairing. And man, the distrust and the pain and the grief and all of those things. And this is just in this one area that brought into this relationship was just so not worth it. And what truly it was is I loved my sin more than I loved the people around me, my future spouse, the people I was serving, that I love my sin more than that.
Yeah.
And I know that's really hard to hear, but sometimes we have to evaluate that. Yeah. Why are we not?
Yeah.
Because if I was honest in those seasons, I loved my sin and I loved myself more than I loved those other people. And I didn't want it to be fully dealt with. And so if you're not willing to fully deal with something like that, if you're not willing to consider that done, if you're not willing to consider that done, then it's not worth pursuing a relationship, because you're not in a healthy place to be in a relationship if you can't love that person more than you love yourself, because that's key to relationship and marriage.
So are you saying, just to clarify, like in those early years of struggling with that you think your lack of transparency, like complete transparency, and there was maybe a partial transparency, are you saying that the lack of the complete transparency may have hindered or prolonged the struggle?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah. It was not bringing, I can't think of the scripture. You shared the one in 1 John, but I think there's another scripture in John 3 or 4, but it talks about the lovers of darkness. They loved their sin and kept it in the darkness. Mm-hmm. And I think that was an element of what it was. I was like, okay, God, I'm willing to deal with this, so I'm going to bring this into the light. But I was keeping these other things in darkness and these other things hidden.
Mm. Sure.
So yeah, it was like this partial. And what's interesting is, and I don't know if this is the enemy or if this is the work of learning what freedom was, that I would feel a relief even in a partial confession. Mm-hmm. I'd feel like this relief. And that was like enough to motivate me for a few weeks to like be pure and to be good. But it wasn't dealing with the root of that sin. And that's really like, I mean, Pastor Nate and Pastor Steve and Pastor Lee helped me actually get to the root of these things. And we went through counseling. She asked me, I think it was first year of marriage, to go through counseling. And one of the things we did, I went through counseling, and one of the things I did was getting to the root and like going back to when I was in third grade and when I was in fourth grade, these things happened in my life that led to, you know, and that's a lot of hard work.
Right.
Yeah. It's not fun. It's not enjoyable, but I'll tell you what, being where I'm at now, looking back, it's hard to believe. Like, I feel like I lived as a shell of what God intended and had for me.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And now it's like, oh my gosh, why did I struggle so much? It's like life is so much better. Our marriage is so much better. Ministry is better. Church is better. Yeah. It's like everything's better.
Reflecting on what you've heard, consider sending us your questions. When you email podcast@newcity.church, your feedback could shape one of our future episodes. It's a simple way to keep the podcast relational and relevant for you.
Yeah, let me highlight that, because I think that's one of the things I would say to somebody who wants to kind of like just mask this issue and move forward to a relationship. Like, God's way is better.
Mm. Yeah.
Connecting with Jesus is better. Mm-hmm. And that relationship is going to be better when you are more genuinely connected with Jesus. Yeah. And I think even you kind of reference this idea like, man, I felt a little bit better, even with a partial repentance.
Yeah.
I think what that is like, that's like even the encouragement of the Holy Spirit saying, look, even with a partial repentance, there's a partial improvement, but I got more for you. Mm-hmm. I've got more for you. So don't stop there. Like, in fact, I remember this in my own life with our kids for sure. When they would get caught in whatever sin, I'd tell them, if there's more that we don't yet know about, bring it out now. You're already in trouble, right? You're already, it's already exposed. It's already a conversation. So why not bring out the scariest details? Bring out every one of them as much as possible. Pile them on so we can just deal with this now and move forward. And I think a lot of times one of the reasons we struggle with bringing that stuff to Jesus and really fully opening up and then even taking the next steps afterward is because, well, I'll table the next steps. One of the reasons I think we struggle with going to Jesus is we see it as like, oh, I'm in trouble. And oh, I got to respond to that conviction. And oh, this is so painful. Rather than realizing, no, there's life on the other side.
Yeah.
There's life. There's joy. There's real joy on the other side. And he's so gracious. He loves you. Mm-hmm. He's got a better plan. He's got a better version of a real marriage than the fake one you can patch together. Yeah. He's got a better version of real life than the fake life you can patch together. And I want to just encourage you, like, if you haven't yet connected with Jesus as the gracious Savior, that is who he is.
Yeah.
And in his love, he wants to convict and he wants to point out sin and he wants to point out deception because it's your enemy. It's going to kill you.
Right.
You leave it in the dark, it's going to grow and it's going to get worse. But when we start to take those steps in really getting vulnerable with Jesus, very often what he'll do is, and this is going to be scary for some of you, he'll say, I love you. I forgive you. And then he'll start to like put people on our hearts and he'll say, okay, have this conversation with them.
Yeah, that's right.
Get vulnerable and get transparent. And some of you, you're like, oh, I don't even want to start the process with him if that's where it leads.
Yeah.
So let's just take one step at a time, get honest and transparent with him fully.
Right.
But I'm going to tell you, you heard it from Aaron. You're going to hear it from, you heard it from Rachel. You're going to hear it from me. Did we hear it from Megan? She was telling us something in the break, or was that?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, you were. It was in the break. But there are the major transformation story in my life, I've shared with our church many times, revolves around me, not just responding alone privately with Jesus, but taking a scary step to drive to the church, walk up the back steps, like interrupt a meeting between our pastor, who was my father-in-law and my boss, and another elder, and just say, this is my sin. I want to get it out. And I was prepared to get fired. I was prepared to get rejected. And instead I experienced forgiveness and grace and coaching. But what I experienced most of all is I experienced freedom. Mm-hmm. Like there was real freedom. There was change that came when I got free. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. Mm-hmm. When I bring the real me into the room, it's easier for you to connect with the real me. Mm-hmm. When I'm fake, when I'm plastic, when I'm postured, when I'm curated, when I'm like, man, it's hard for you to get to the real me. Yeah. And when the real me has been connecting with the real Jesus, oh, it's so much easier for others to connect with the real me and to see Jesus in me.
Yeah.
And that, oh, God's way is better. Yeah. It's just better.
So worth it.
Yeah, I agree. I think when I first came to church, this goes back to the church leadership topic that we covered in our previous episode. I feel like anytime I had a meeting with a pastor or a pastor's wife, I was like, I'm in trouble. Mm-hmm. I'm in trouble. I still get that panic occasionally when it's like,
so somebody would be like, send a text, can we talk? And you're like, uh-oh.
Yes. Yeah. And I was always just like so freaked out. Mm-hmm. And I think over time, I just had to learn how to trust the hearts of the people around me to be like, okay, yeah. Even if they're bringing something up, I know they're going to do it in a way that is loving and gracious. And if they don't do it in a way that's loving and gracious, I feel like I could have asked for clarity or even explained like, hey, the way you did this hurt me. And so there was an openness and transparency there already established where I could do that. But I also learned that if I found a conversation particularly intimidating, that I would just ask ahead of time, like, could you give me an indication of what we're talking mm-hmm. about? Because I'm nervous and it's making me panic and I'm racking my brain for every terrible thing I've said in the last 3 months. So I think if you're constantly feeling like you're in trouble with a leader, like asking for clarity is not a bad way, because then I think it puts your heart at rest knowing like, okay.
And then if they text back like an emoji with skull and crossbones, you know,
you're dead.
Okay.
You're dead.
I should be worried. I send that one all the time. I love it.
I think
sometimes I'll be in a public place, like a coffee shop, and I'll see somebody I know from a distance, just smiling and having a good day. And just to ruin their mood, I'll text them, hey, could we meet sometime soon? And then I just watch their face melt.
Wow. My face would be I'd be so happy.
Nate.
Yay.
That is a complete joke if we don't know each other. I'm sarcastic and immature. So I can't go 4 minutes without a joke. Even a lame one. Dad jokes.
Nice. Right. Oh, that's another podcast we could start. Dad jokes with Nate.
Oh, God.
I think this is a really good quote. And if you haven't read it, I would recommend Richard Foster's Celebration of Discipline. He talks about this idea of confession. And this is like, I think, especially, I feel like we're in a season where we're just dealing with a lot of sin in a lot of people's lives that mm-hmm. was hidden for a long period of time. And they're like bringing it to me. And they're like, I consistently hear over and over again, I was just like, I was so scared to bring it to you because I just thought you were going to beat me up. And this is, confession is so difficult a discipline for us, partly because we view the believing community as a fellowship of saints before we believe it as a fellowship of sinners. Ooh. We come to feel that everyone else has advanced so far into holiness that we are isolated and alone in our sin. We could not bear to reveal our failures and shortcomings to others. We imagine that we are the only ones who have stepped onto we are the only ones that have not stepped onto the high road of heaven. Therefore, we hide ourselves from one another and live veiled lies in hypocrisy. Mm. And I think that was definitely something that kept me isolated. And that's the lie of the enemy. He wants to keep you isolated and he wants to keep you separate. Mm-hmm. And there is, what's funny is it can be major sin. It can be like, you know, I'm using drugs, I'm doing this. And it can be as simple as just embarrassment on the way that you eat. It could be, and the enemy will just tell you over and over and over again, you're the only one that struggles with mm-hmm. this. Keep it private. Keep it. Don't do it. Don't tell them they're going to. And like, I can tell you from somebody that's confessed, very hard, shocking, in my opinion, shocking things. I know many of you know me now and you would be, but the past I lived was not a good life. And again, I'm met by people that love me, the people that understand me, people that encourage me. And you know what? I would rather have that going into marriage than finding that out later and then having to like rebuild trust, rebuilding a relationship, rebuild those things.
Right.
So why not just deal with it now? Why not realize that you're surrounded by a bunch of people that are also sinners, that are also struggling, that are also walking through this, to be real, to be exposed in a healthy way of your life so that you can enter into any relationship. And we've talked about church, we've talked about friendship, we've talked about leadership. All of those things and marriage, all of those things suffer.
Yeah.
None of those relationships are whole if you're hiding and keeping
things. Right.
There's a level of vulnerability and transparency that God desires. Right. In those areas, and oh man, when you find it and you see how long the enemy's lied to you, it just makes you want to just kick him in the teeth. Kick him in the face.
Kick him in the knee.
In the knee.
What do you think we're so scared of? Like confessing. Like, what is someone gonna do? Are you kidding me? And like, you know, pile drive you. Like, what do I've never had someone be like, if I confess something to them, I've never had them be. I've always been, like, people have always opened up with grace.
I think depending on the family you're raised in, depending on your context of even church culture, depending on like how long you've been in a healthy church culture versus like a more, maybe a more religious or a more legalistic church culture, or maybe just involved in church at all. Maybe you don't have a context for actually healthy, loving, gracious communication.
Yeah,
I think it can be scary. I think we can probably take for granted how long we've been in not relationships that have always been flawless and perfect and people that do this perfectly, but we've been in healthy relationships long enough. We can way more easily see the benefits of confession. And when we say confession in our context, we're not talking about like you go to a private little booth and there's a guy on the other side of the screen wearing a clerical collar. We're not talking about that. We're talking about just like opening up. In James 5, it says, confess your sins to one another and pray for each other so that you can find healing. And it's not a formal thing. It's like just a life thing. It's a daily life. Like I want to get open and let you know my joys and my struggles. In 1 Corinthians 12:27, it says, talking about the church, it says, when one part suffers, every part suffers. When one part rejoices, every part rejoices. And when you know somebody has been through struggles, and sometimes we think of those struggles as like, oh, you lost your job, or, you know, you've had difficulty getting pregnant, or whatever. You can think of struggles that way. But I think when we think of our struggles, even in terms of like our temptation and our hangups and issues of addiction or whatever, when one part suffers, every part suffers with it.
Yeah.
It hinders the body in the respect that I think we should recognize, like, man, we want our whole body to be healthy and functioning well. And when they suffer, it doesn't mean like I suffer like, oh, great, you're dragging us down. But man, I'm hurting with you.
Yeah.
I'm contending with you and I'm burdened along with you. But when we share that burden, then when the victory comes, when the breakthrough comes, when the healing comes, when the answer comes, the joy is so much more shared. Yeah. When one part suffers, every part suffers. When one part rejoices, every part really rejoices. And when we choose to live just transparently, and it's not with everybody. You gotta understand this. It's not like, you know, please don't be that person who like just hops on social media and shares the worst details of your life with all of the world to see.
Or in small group prayer request time.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Proverbs says only a fool speaks his whole mind.
Yeah.
That's really important to recognize. Like, do not just share everything, every gory detail, every embarrassing thing, because you're thinking, well, this is my road to freedom to just announce to the church. There was a season in our church where God did a supernatural thing. He was doing something, I think, to really clean house and bring a spirit of authenticity in our church. And he was convicting many people for weeks on end. Like probably about 150 people went up, grabbed a microphone and said, this is my darkest sin. And it was a God thing. And so it was a very unusual time frame, but people ran to the front. They laid hands on them. They prayed for them. They hugged them. They wept with them. And God cleaned house in our church. But I think it also gave us like a bit of an authenticity, like a willingness to get open with our lives. Yeah. But in general, that's not the norm. In general, what you want to do is look for like those one or two trusted voices in your life. And this could be a peer relationship, but also like a mentoring relationship where you're talking about the things you're struggling with, and it takes a level of trust, recognizing they're not going to just turn around and tell anybody about that. But you also want to trust them enough to give them liberty. You know, if you tell them something that they have no idea how to counsel you through or advise you on, they should have enough trust from you so that they can go and get counsel from someone else. Hey, I love this person. I'm helping them. They've opened up to me. Yeah. How can I help them in their life? We should all have one or two people in our life that we can have those level of conversations with about the goriest details that maybe we would associate with shame. God wants to associate those things with freedom. Those conversations should lead to life. I love to tell our church, we're a church of grace that values who you are.
Yeah.
Right now, who you are right now, right. Not who you'll be, but who you are right now. But we're also a church of truth that wants to teach you who you can become.
Right.
Yeah.
Isn't it great that we don't have to stay the same?
Yeah.
We don't have to stay burdened with the same stuff, tempted by the same stuff, trapped in wrong thinking, just like we are now. There's a different version of me in the future. Mm-hmm. There's a different version of you in the future. And it's the one that learns to, first of all, get vulnerable with Jesus, but then vulnerable with one or two others.
Yeah.
Personal integrity and transparency is huge. You want to marry somebody who's known for that.
Yeah.
But you want to become that person. Yeah. So what are some final thoughts we could offer if somebody's looking at their life and they're like, I'm not that person, or we've shared a number of practical things already, but what are some maybe final thoughts? Like, what would we share to help them tip the scale and say, okay, yeah, I'm gonna start to take these steps and become a person of transparency?
Well, I would ask the question, do you want to marry someone that is known for that stuff? Because if you would like to marry someone like that, then you should probably be that person. I know we've talked about that, but
no, but I think, but point that out. Like, look at the alternative. Right. What kind of person do you want to marry?
Yeah, do you want to marry someone that has hidden sin and isn't talking about it? No. So,
or they're explaining things away. Mm-hmm. They're pointing the finger at somebody else, or they're like they're negotiating their sin. They're justifying it. Do you want to marry that person? Do you want to be that person?
Nope.
I think this is a practical tip that we haven't really gotten into, and something I've done with different young adults in the past, and we did it in our internship at one point. But I am not very introspective, and I'm not super self-aware. So which you can just Google this on the internet, in personal inventory of sin, where it lists out all these different sins. Because like I could tell you there's certain things I struggle with, but when I sit down across a table with someone else and I go through a list of like all these sins out there, I can be like, well, okay, I probably don't struggle with murder, but do I struggle with anger? And we can talk that through with someone. And I remember there's been seasons where I've sat down with young adults and either they've prompted me and said, hey, I want to go through the like confession, and I feel like I'm desperate for freedom, so I'm willing to get really, you know, vulnerable, and I want you to also help me like reveal things in my heart, then that really has given me freedom to be like, okay, I actually see that you're really like materialistic in this way. Mm-hmm. Like I see that you spend your money here or whatever. It just gives latitude to question things.
Yeah.
But then also when people are desperate for freedom and we can go through this list and it's like they may have brought three things that they struggle with, but they walk away with 16. Like I remember one young adult in particular was just absolutely struggling and just like could not get through things and was just like, this is such a difficult season, so hard. And we sat down, I suggested this. I said, if you're open to this conversation, I'm willing to have it with you, but you have to be willing to have this with me. And we went through the personal inventory of sin and they were like, that was terrifying, but I feel so much better. And the fruit that came out of that season that I watched in her life was just incredible to see. And so I think if you're desperate for freedom and you're like, I'm done living this way, I don't want to be this person, I don't want to hide anything, Google the personal inventory of sin and go with it to a mentor and just say, help me work through all of this, examine my life, help me, and just be very open.
That's good.
Yeah. My advice or my last thought would be, do not give up. There are times when you are in the seasons of getting right with God and it seems so incredibly overwhelming, or you seem like such a failure because you repent for something and then you go and you make the mistake again and it's like, I just can't go back to that person. There's no way I can share that again. And you just choose to just seclude yourself with your sin. And I just want to like prompt you and encourage you and help you in any way possible. Do not give up. God intends so much more. His intentions towards us are pure and we can trust. And if he's asking you to reveal something, he would never harm you in that.
Right.
And he would never hurt you in that. He's actually trying to help you in that. Yeah. And that is an incredible way to step into what God has for you, to embrace what he has for you as he frees you. And as those things are brought into the light, you'll experience new levels of freedom, new levels of joy. Maybe the levels is not the right way, but you'll experience new things that God intended.
New dynamics in that relationship.
Dynamics would be a better way to communicate that. But new dynamics in that relationship. And I'll tell you what, like there were seasons that I look back in my life and I thought I would never be free. I would never experience, I would just give up on that. And now I can say like, oh man, like I never even knew. And here's the thing is like, I'm still dealing in a sense, like there's still freedom I'm experiencing in those arenas. Like if I was honest, like pornography hasn't been a struggle for a while, but I'm still experiencing freedom in the way my mind thinks towards women and the way I approach my thought life. And I'm experiencing, God is continuing to renew those thoughts. And Megan and I have very open and transparent conversations in life about that. We communicate that really openly now. And it's just like, 10 years ago, I would have never thought.
Yeah.
I would have never thought that would be an option that me and my wife could have those conversations. Yeah. And they're so, 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 so good. And yeah, man, I think I try to practice going through the inventory of sin a couple times a year alone with Jesus. Mm. And sometimes I'll just repent them, or sometimes I'll just talk with Jesus and repent of those things. And I feel like that's what God wanted to motivate me in. But there's also times I'll meet with a trusted guy and just be like, God just motivated me on this. This is what I'm convicted of, and share those things. So but I'd say regularly, because there's a new dynamic, a new work that God is doing regularly in me as I pursue that. So
that's good. I think that inventory of sin is a great idea. Yeah, I think
I like that.
If you forget to do that, or you're not sure how to do that, if you're listening to this, I'm sure you're sure how to do that. One thing that comes to mind is even thinking through these other five dynamics that we have been talking through: a good work ethic, financial stewardship, and right relationships with peers, with spiritual authority, engagement in the church family. As you think even through those five arenas, that probably will provoke a lot of thought in terms of, okay, what am I struggling with? Where am I not showing the joy of Christ? Where am I not showing the life and the truth and the abundant life of Christ? Yeah. I think those is a good starting point. But a much more thorough list, if you're just trying to master the list, obviously that's going to turn into religion. Right. But that'll provoke thought for an open heart and for a transparent heart. That is going to provoke thought and give the Holy Spirit maybe language to use in helping you identify where you're missing his voice or have been ignoring it.
I was just thinking, can you imagine where the four of us would be had we not dealt with those things? Like, what if I was still a liar? You know?
Right.
Are you?
No, Aaron. Oh, okay. No. Okay. I was trying to think of a lie, like something funny, but I have nothing.
She can't even fake lie.
Lies aren't even funny.
I don't
Rachel.
Even. Oh.
Why would you even say that's funny?
I had nothing. You're, nothing.
Okay. Good. No, I mean, go back to that. That's powerful.
What if Megan was still sneaking out?
What if she was still trapped in that pet door?
Oh my gosh.
Aaron just catches her
metaphorically
as he's fresh in his teeth. How are you doing?
That would be hilarious, because that would mean she's several doors into our house to get in the situation.
To be near the bathroom? Is that Or you're always brushing your teeth by the
bathroom. She's still sneaking in as she's going past the bathroom. Anyways.
Were you done with that thought?
No, I mean, ish. But I just think, how bad would that suck? And how many people's lives would that affect?
Rich, honey.
I know, there's said it a lot.
38-year-olds listening to this.
I have got to purify my
come on, potty
words.
Mouth. You kiss your mom with that mouth?
I don't. But you know what? Weird thought. My mom's family all kisses on the lips. Like,
what?
Like, she would
this
kiss.
This is taking a weird turn.
They all did that. It, like a sweet thing. I didn't.
Like. Your mom would kiss her sister on the lips?
Yeah.
Like, hey there. Honey.
Her mom, her dad, her uncle, her aunt, they all kissed on the lips. Yep. Like, it was kind of cute. But also, I didn't want to be a part of it. Cute. I'd have none of it.
But I think, I mean. I think it added a little more depth to that question. You kiss your mom with that mouth? And then she'd be like, on the lips? What have I done?
Oh, that's true.
Sorry, mom.
Well, terrain us in.
Thank you, Megan.
To answer your question, Rachel, I think had we been in the same situation, or had we not dealt with our stuff early on in our marriage, I don't think we'd be married still.
Yeah.
So even though it was hard work, it's just like choosing your heart. People say that all the time when you're going to the gym. Like, would you rather be, you know, healthy, or would you rather be dealing with all these medical issues if you don't take care of your body? I think the same thing with your sin life. Like, your sin is hard and freedom is hard, but like, choose your heart. Mm-hmm. Like, it is the fruit of being free is so much better than what you're getting from your sin. And your sin may be enticing and it may be fun, and you may think that I can't let go of this, but I assure you, freedom is so much better.
Yeah. As simple as it may seem, your transparent conversations with Jesus will transform you.
Yeah.
And just connecting with him, meditating on his word, but conversing with him, taking time to speak, to confess, to open up, but also to listen. I would recommend talk out loud Speak out loud to Jesus. If you're a journaler, write, because it's hard to write a sentence and not finish it, or speak a sentence out loud and not finish it.
Right.
But you'll catch things you were about to say, you were about to pray, you were about to confess, and you'll at times be tempted to cut it short or to change the end of that sentence. Mm-hmm. It's an accountability way within yourself to ask yourself, how honest am I being with Jesus? But your conversations, your vulnerable, real, transparent, consistent conversations with Jesus will make a difference in your life. Mm-hmm. You've got to reconnect with who he's made you to be. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone and the new has come. Yeah. So spiritually, you are new. You are pure. You are different. Mm-hmm. And that's still working its way out. And one of the hurdles it has to get over is your mindset, your mind, will, and emotions, your soul that wants to hinder the spiritual growth.
Yeah.
Well, when we say things like, we're a church that shows you who you can become, every one of us is like, yeah, I want to be different. I want that story. I want that transformation. This is how you get it. You start to get open.
Yeah.
That is a huge part of the process. I want to read to you about who you are in 1 Peter 2, verse 9 and 10. You're a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light.
Yeah.
This is who you are. He's calling you out of darkness. He wants you to see like your sin, that thing you're masking over, you're ignoring, you're shelving, you're justifying. It's the enemy. It is darkness. He's like, no, I called you out of darkness into my wonderful light. It says, once you were not a people, but now you're the people of God. That is who you are. You're the people of God. If you're listening to this, you've surrendered your life to Christ. Continue surrendering your life to Christ. Every bit of you. Every bit of you, God wants more and more and more of you. We pray all the time in our church for more opportunities, more resources, more anointing to make more disciples. We're not looking for just more people in the room. We want every person in the room to give more and more of them to Jesus. That's really what a disciple is. He's following, she's following Jesus more thoroughly, more fully, more genuinely. Right. There is a better future for you, with or without a spouse. Do not miss out on intimacy, closeness, transparency with Jesus.
Yeah.
Remember how David said it, investigate my life, dig deep, look close, see if there's any offensive way in me, lead me in the way everlasting. That's our hope for you. That's our prayer for you. Not that you just find that person to marry. They're not going to fix all your problems if you haven't brought them to Jesus. We want to pray that you become that person.
Right.
Yeah.
Man, we love you guys. We're so excited about this journey for you. If you have specific questions on this, don't ever hesitate to send those in. podcast@newcity.church. We're praying for you. And Megan, would you be willing to pray for him now as we say goodbye?
Yes. Jesus, we just pray that anybody listening here would just feel even the weight and the urgency to really get right with you, Lord. Yes. That if there's things that are standing in the way of their freedom, God, that you would help them see that there is a path to abundant life, Lord, that happens through transparency and confession and repentance, God. And I pray that you would bring people into their life to help them walk through that. God, we are so thankful for your work of grace in our life that allows us to live in freedom. In your name, amen.
Hey, I got one more thing. I just thought about this. If you don't have a relationship with Jesus, if you somehow stumbled across this podcast and you don't know Jesus is your Lord and Savior, and you're feeling and sitting under the condemnation of sin right now, and you're wondering, how do you do this? The first thing you do is you've got to give your life to Jesus. Mm-hmm. And you can do that right now, personally, between you and Jesus. You can take a moment, you can sit down, and you can repent of your sins, which means to recognize what you've done is wrong and how those things are wrong. And you can pray, and you can ask Jesus to forgive those things. And the word says that he is faithful and just to forgive you of those sins, to wipe away those sins, and he can make you new, and you can commit your life to him. You can make him the Lord and Savior of your life. And that is the beginning transformation of this process. So if you're in that moment, if you're in this thing and you're sitting right here and you're wondering, do I have a relationship with Jesus? Do I know for certain that if I died right now or died tomorrow, that I would be at home in heaven? If you can't answer that, that's going to be the first question for you to answer in this pursuit of freedom and the pursuit of you having a spouse or having a good marriage is going to be founded in Jesus and his work on the cross. So that's you. We're praying for you. If you have questions about that, again, you can email the podcast at newcity.church. And we would love to encourage you, help you in any way we can in this new journey that you have with Jesus. We love you. And we're so excited about what God's doing in you.
I'll give you four scriptures you can look up right now. John 3:16, 1 John 1:9, Ephesians 2:8-9, and Romans 10:9-10. We love you guys. We're praying for you. Goodbye.
Bye.